Sometimes in our traditional school settings, that children are exposed to only those areas of interest. And so at a young age, they choose between subjects and often choose not to delight in certain subjects because they have no interest in them. Charlotte Mason thought otherwise. She wanted the students to have wide relationships with this world. She called it our great inheritance. I love that. It speaks of a God who's given us this whole world for the taking, and that it's our dominion, it's our place of bearing our own lives and the lives of others who will come after us. And as we begin to cultivate those relationships, that we would grow. And then as a child grows older to become a young adult, that they would begin to choose from those relationships. And so what has happened at Ambleside has been very exciting. Parents come to us and say, I never knew my child could do well in art, or I never knew my child could do well in music. I think of a parent who came to me, her child was in grade one, and the child, she didn't feel, have an aptitude for math. And she said, he comes by it very easily. Our whole family's poor at math. I said to her, let's give him a chance. Let's give him a chance to have a relationship with math. So let's not define him in that subject yet. And so, as often the case in traditional settings, people grow in the areas that they're already interested in. And yet what we've seen in Ambleside is real joy and real delight in learning in a varied array of subjects. And students who might have had a difficulty in one subject learn skills and habits that will help them for a lifetime. And they continue to grow in these areas. I remember during the first year of our school, a parent came to me in November, and this was of an older student who was 13. And she said to me, do you think you could give me a list of all the books that they're reading in his grade? And I said, sure. And she said, he's wanting these books for Christmas. She said, I want you to know this is quite unusual. You see, my son's never asked for certain books at Christmas time. But because he's enjoying being here so much, he has a new relationship with a whole variety of things. So you can see and imagine the thrill that was in my spirit and also in the family spirit as they saw their son growing in these varied relationships. It thrills a teacher to be able to work at a school like this as they engage with the students and have students come to them at different hours of the day or after school one day. I remember a young gal, the child had just been acquainted with division and they were learning long division. And so she and her father got together one night and they began to do some division problems. And so she showed 5 to 6 pages of long division and she was so excited about her work. And we see that with students in the area of science, that they delight in learning about anatomy, that they begin to talk about their bones as their friends of theirs. Throughout the years of being a part of education, I realize it's such a privilege to be in relationship with young people and to be in relationship with knowledge. And that in a regular course of my adult life, I don't read widely in science and history and poetry about composers or about artists or involve myself in handwork. But as a classroom educator, I have all these varied relationships. And so as I began to be a part of this school and the formation of young people growing up, I remember as we gather together for assembly each morning and we sing the hymn of the week. And many times I would just be quiet and stop singing myself and just listen to the full voices of young men and young women, of little boys and little girls singing with their hearts outbursting the songs of the hymn, the words of the hymn. And it was such a satisfying experience because there wasn't the kind of shame or I'm a male or I'm older and I shouldn't be singing in this way. But there was a sense of this is what I ought to do. My voice cries out in song. And as I see students be active in conditioning, one of the conditioning teachers was telling me a story about that they had begun the running course, and at the very beginning, the 11 and 12 year olds were struggling with running a whole block. They were huffing and puffing and whining, and this teacher urged them on to go a little further, to go a little further. And then in the course of about 8 weeks, they were running over a mile without a pause and without too much of a puff. It was exciting to see them working toward a goal and that all the students were effective in reaching that goal. And yes, they would shore one another up and the teacher would run with some of the slower ones, but it was so exciting to hear that everyone was doing well in their desire to run that mile. In other things, we've seen young people engage in areas where I remember getting together with the four seniors 1 year, and as we were preparing for graduation, one of the students said, "You know, as I look around this table and as I see these are my friends with whom I've spent these last years with, I realize I would never initially have chosen these persons to be my friends. But these persons have made a difference in my life." And as I began to think about that, it's truly like that in many of our other relationships, our neighbors, some of the people we serve on committees or boards with, maybe we wouldn't choose them as friends, but yet they have been our teachers. And so at Ambleside, young people have opportunities to be in relationship with a wide variety of persons.
If we are going to take seriously our responsibility for the raising of children, we have to be as intentional about the way their hearts are being formed as we are intentional about the way their intellects are being shaped. We live out of our hearts, not out of our heads. The head is incredibly important, and children must have well-trained intellects. But they're not machines. Their hearts will shape how they live and how they experience life. We must be very, very intentional and careful about the dynamics of relationship between teacher, taught, and the text. For only then will there be a life-giving education. And we remember the maxim, sow an idea, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. But it all starts with that idea which is entertained. Once the idea is entertained, unless some countervailing idea challenge it, our character will be the logical conclusion of the work of that